Brilliant. Thank you very much. You all still awake and raring to go? Hope so. I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about the delivery of conservation in the landscape. The GWCT has been involved for many years in delivering conservation, and we've worked with farmers over a long period of time. The Lawton Report came out, as Teresa talked about earlier on, and that was all about working on a landscape scale. We were actually instrumental, again, Teresa particularly was instrumental in getting a group of farmers together to apply for the nature improvement areas, and one of those applications was successful and turned into the Marlborough Downs NIA. And that was the only farmer-led one in the country, and that's really, I think, quite important. That was very much bottom-up and working with farmers very much on a landscape scale. But remember, that had finance from government to help them do that. So it was then at a later date that we were on the Duke of Norfolk's estate down in Arundel, looking at what he was doing for grey partridge. Fantastic project down there, incredibly successful. And we were actually showing various people around, including James Phillips from Natural England. And James heads up the species delivery for Natural England. And he said, "God, isn't this an amazing project? If only we could actually use this project to expand further and to get more farmers doing the same thing in the same locality." And so talking to James, we took this further. And he went off and got us a little bit of money to try out a project, a trial project, which became known as clusters. So what is a cluster? Well, I'm just going to use... I want you all to just think of vultures for a minute, OK? If I'm a vulture and I'm waking up in the morning, what I do is I sit around on my rock for a bit and I wait till the sun gets warm, and then eventually, as the thermals get going, I take off and I glide around up above and I'm looking at my patch down below. But what I'm also doing is I'm keeping an eye on my neighbours each side, and my neighbours are keeping an eye on their neighbours. And so if any one of us vultures finds something dead that's died overnight, we'll tip down to go and have a look and explore. So I've suddenly gone missing. So my neighbour thinks, "Oh, he's found something." So he'll slide across, and the next one slides across, and so do the... And that is why when you get a carcass, you suddenly get an awful lot of vultures landing on that carcass at the same time. That is a cluster, okay? They're all working together on a large landscape scale to benefit each other. So that's what we actually decided to do. We wanted to get farmers together to test what they would actually do that they could improve on a landscape scale by all working together. Because at the moment, they were putting all of their efforts for greening or conservation, whatever you want to call it, and it all finished at the farm boundary. We wanted to just rip up farm boundaries. We wanted each farmer to start working with his or her neighbours. And so that's what we put into practice. And we set up four of these clusters. And why is this important? Because, well, at the moment, we have got an awful lot of farmers doing stewardship schemes. When I give lots of talks to the public, I actually ask them these questions. If I'm talking to WI or something, I say, "You know, come on, how many farmers are actually in a stewardship scheme?" And the answer is nearly always the same. They'll come back and they'll tell me, "I don't know, 5, 10, maybe 15%. And when I actually tell them that it's 73% of farmers are in a stewardship scheme, they're absolutely flabbergasted. And so with that number, what we've got to now do is get it more joined up. Alistair was alluding earlier on about stacking options. If we're going to take small amounts out of farming because we need a lot to produce food, we need to make the most of that land that we take out. And if it's all joined up and it's bigger and better and more thought through, as Lawton said in his project, then that's got to be a good idea. The other thing is that in the new NELMS, whatever it's going to be called, it probably won't be called that, we know that it's going to be heavily targeted. And that's understandable. We've got less money and we want to go and spend it where that money is going to give you most effort and results. But at the moment, it looks like that those real targeting areas are only going to cover about 40% of the country. Now, that's worrying if you happen to land up in the other 60. Now, certainly doesn't mean that you can't get into the stewardship scheme, but they may want you to do more to get in. And one of the things that they're looking at is getting groups of farmers together to form a cluster, joined up thinking, and then that might well mean that you're then much more acceptable to be included into the new stewardship scheme. It's something we're certainly testing with this. So how do we go about setting it up? Well, the key thing to a cluster, and it really, really is important, is that it's, when I go to set these up, it's not mine. It is the farmers. And we learnt that very much from the Marlborough Downs NIA. That Theresa went, she didn't actually go to them and say, I want you to do this. She said, what do you want to do? And she encouraged them to think about what they wanted. And this is exactly the same. So what I do is I try and pick someone who is already doing things really well. First and foremost, he or she has to be a good farmer. And that is fundamental because they need to be respected in their community. They then have to be green. They have to have green credentials. But they actually have to be doing it, not just talking about it. There's quite a few people out there who will talk the talk, but when you go on the farm, they're not actually really, really implementing it. So having got those two things, we then actually want them to lead it. It's their cluster. So we get the farmer to send out the invites to the local people that he thinks will form a good area landscape. Now, that could be a valley. It could cover a huge area of Sussex or Norfolk or somewhere, but it also could be just quite an intimate little valley down in Devon or something. So scale isn't necessarily important. It's looking at the landscape you want to cover. And I think the final thing is that the person you pick has got to be passionate. They really have got to believe in what they're doing. So we then send out invites. And I suppose you could say this picture looks like vultures on a kill, but it's actually brought all the farmers in together. And what we found is that we're getting an amazing response from the farmers when they're sent out an invite, just to come along and talk, find out about it. Nearly all of them are turning up. And when they do turn up, we just have a very informal chat about what we're thinking of doing. It's just testing the water, really. And I get them to all agree that we can map their farms and actually produce a map with all the singing and dancing stuff that we know about the area. So habitats, species, everything else. And they've all, again, agreed to that. And then we get them to actually discuss for the future who they might have as an advisor. Again, we're getting them to choose who they want to advise them. We're not imposing anything on them. So we then... we've created, if you like, through the invites and that initial meeting, our hotspot. And you can see here the blue is the farmer who actually instigated the whole thing. And then he's invited his surrounding people, and that is the area that we're going to work on. And then we map it. And this mapping, I think, is really, really fundamental because the moment you get a group of farmers around a table with mapping, they go, oh, I've got that, and oh, I didn't know you had that over there. And they see all the habitats, and they immediately start to see how they might link them. It's a very visual thing, but farmers absolutely get it. And we also do the species. And the species, some of them are, the results we have is just on a grid reference, so we don't know exactly where it was. But other species, things like plants and perhaps butterflies, we can actually pinpoint where they are. And what is really interesting is that the farmers absolutely love this. And you start to get actually a little bit of what has become known in the trust now as lapwing envy. So somebody says, oh, I didn't know you had lapwings. I haven't got any. And you can see them actually all discussing, what are you doing? And asking questions and then thinking in their minds how they're going to link it and what is needed within the area. And it's all coming from them. Of course, we guide them a little bit because this is all about delivery. And Natural England have targets for 2002, and we need to help them meet those targets. So, of course, there's some input from us, but a lot of it is down to them. And as we've heard already from a number of speakers this morning, we do believe that advice is really important. And why do I say that? Well, farming really has changed over the years hugely. And that is, look, notice I put dot, dot, dot at the bottom. I could have done another slide and probably another one after that. The average farmer needs to take on a huge amount of information. And they need help with that information. It's not just conservation. It's not just soil water. It's all sorts of other things too. Where do they go to get that advice? They can't possibly go to all the experts from all the different organisations. So what they need is one advisor who can, he or she can actually know the landscape that they're dealing with, know the individual farmers, and then hold meetings to deliver that information out. So when you bring a group of farmers, and this is a cluster of farmers brought together, and we are discussing things that are totally applicable to them. It's their soil type. It's their landscape. It's not covering erosion because they don't have erosion, but we are talking about water quality because that is an issue. We're talking about the things that really are appropriate to them. We're also bringing in experts because they'll say, we think we've got a real problem with this. And the advisor will go, right, I know someone who really knows about this, and they'll bring them in. So it is really, really working well. And again, falling back to the Marlborough Downs NIA, it's worked beautifully there. And farmers are now reporting back how much they've learnt about their own farms and how much they appreciate the advice that they're getting. So advice is really, really crucial. So what are the outcomes from these clusters? Well, as I say, basically all the farmers we've approached seem up for it. They range over quite a big area, as you can see. And I think this landscape approach, I thought I was going to have to spend a lot of the time at the meetings explaining it. That is not the case. They get landscape approach. You know, often we've heard, oh, farmers won't work with each other. I haven't found that at all. I found they've been absolutely welcome the fact to discuss with their neighbours and see immediately the advantages of working on a bigger area rather than stopping at the farm boundary. They also, I think, are more ambitious when they work together. It's interesting. When you get a group of farmers, they always sort of work each other up. And they go, oh, yes, well, if you do it, I'll have a go at that. And that's very rewarding. And so I think we're getting more out of them because they're working as a group. And they absolutely love this bottom-up approach. That is vital, in our opinion. So don't come in from the top and tell them what to do. Work from the bottom up. And if I can just tell you one thing, there was somebody from an NIA phoned me up and said, how are you getting the Marlborough Downs farmers to do so much? And I said, well, what has been your approach? And they said, well, we spent 6 months or so sitting around a table deciding what we wanted from our NIA. Then we went to the farmers and said, this is what we'd quite like you to do. And unfortunately, all the farmers appeared to be too busy. Well, are you surprised? We did it exactly the opposite. We worked with them first and foremost and went with their ideas. So that's a really important lesson if you want action out there. The other thing is don't miss out on the psychological part. We've heard a little bit about it this morning. My patch, where I grew up, is very important to me. Okay, so don't miss out on that. People like their local area, and working together, feeling a part of a community locally, is very, very important. That's a big driver for people to do things. It's very interesting because, again, Teresa alluded to this right at the beginning of the day. There are lots of things that motivate people. And I pick on this farmer in particular. I hope none of you know him, but I'm going back to what Teresa was saying about her girly bit this morning. This couldn't be more of an alpha rugby-playing male if you tried to find one anywhere. But when he got to this tree, he went all gooey. He said, oh, we used to play in this, and my children now play in it, my dad used to play in this. Isn't this an amazing tree? And think about all the things that went on underneath this tree. You know, it's amazing, the history. And he really, really valued it. So don't just forget that side of people. It is alive and well, even in the most burly of farmers. And this business of generation, wanting to hand over a farm that has been farmed by a grandfather or father and handing it on to the son or the daughter, is a very important part. And again, shooting or field sports in general, whether that's fishing or whatever, a huge driver, motivator of people to get off their bottom and go and deliver. And I don't mind what the motivation is. I'm all about getting it happening on the ground. And do not forget field sports. They play a huge role. And when you're looking on a landscape scale, you can home it right down to individual species. Something like grey partridge needs actually a pretty big area. Dick Potts always used to say, difficult really to deliver it on much, much less than 1,000 acres. Well, that counts an awful lot of farmers out unless you team up with your neighbours. And dispersal, of course, all the males come springtime will disperse to go off and find females. And if they fly over your farm boundary and the guys next door to your neighbours aren't doing partridge-friendly things, then they're probably going to be doomed. But if they're doing a bit of habitat and they're doing a bit of predator control, controlling foxes, for instance, then they're flying over into another friendly farm. So landscape-scale conservation works for individual species as well as for the whole environment. And again, when you come to what Alistair was talking about, winter food in particular, and cover at that time of year for grey partridge, look at that landscape. It's got things dotted all over it. And just because that hedge happens to be a boundary, it doesn't mean that you can't go across it now and deliver what a partridge or any other species needs on a much bigger scale. So landscape scale is really important, but it's not just wildlife, and I don't want you to go away with that. The new NELMS is very much about also soil and water. And I start talks when I go onto farms saying, probably actually the most important thing now you have to deliver is water. You need clean water. There are so many rules and regulations. So what about doing that? If you work over the whole catchment on a landscape scale, then you're going to tidy up that water course. If you're the only farmer on the whole length of that stream that you're looking after, you're not going to do it on your own. You need everybody else to be involved. And so soil and water management is absolutely crucial. And of course, you can actually then include whole landscapes and get it all right across a landscape rather than individual farm. So this absolutely fits into soil and water. And of course, soil and water, it's all integrated. If you mess up on the soil and water and you pollute the stream, then you're polluting the dragonflies and the hobbies that feed on the dragonflies. You know, everything's interlinked. So this is such a good approach. So can they actually deliver? Well, I believe yes. I think advice is absolutely crucial. I think that actually the flexibility to change existing agreements, and I'm in discussions with, the GWCT is in discussions with Natural England about this, and that's absolutely been taken on board by people like James Phillips, and he's beavering away to try and sort out problems like that, because we don't have to wait 10 years till an agreement finishes before we can move it. We need to move things around and link it up now already on a landscape scale. Mapping is really important, and again, Natural England are working on that, and we keep pressurising them, because we do think that a map on a table with a group of farmers around it really is part of this. And work with farmers alongside them. Work with them. Don't dictate to them. That is, doesn't matter what you're trying to do in the countryside, that is very applicable. We've learnt that very, very quickly through this. And target, yes, but don't ignore 60% of the countryside. Now, Natural England are not ignoring it, but I want everybody to feel that they have a chance of getting into the new scheme, even if they aren't in a target area. And that might mean that, yes, you have to form a cluster and do all singing and dancing stuffs to enable you to get in. And remember that payments are really important. And from that end, I'm very, very encouraged, because Natural England are now discussing actually coming up with lump sums of money to enable groups of farmers to farm clusters. And we're actually working and tweaking on those papers as we speak now. So there could well be money for farmers when they join together in the future to produce a more joined up plan to deliver their conservation. So, thank you for listening. It's been a fantastic project. It's ongoing. Are there any questions?